Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to Katie and Kay Radio. This is your host, SS Kitty. And I am so thrilled to have the creative director of Grovestock, Austin Tribble, in the house today. Austin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kat. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. Thank you for coming today because Grovestock is a month away. It's September 1st through 3rd, Labor Day weekend, so you're a month away from this big production. How are you feeling?
I am feeling like everything's happening as it needs to, you know, right on time, the right people, the right place at the right moment, and just getting excited, just talking to everyone who's involved, and the excitement is growing tremendously right now
as it gets closer. And so for our listeners, because last year was my first exposure to Grovestock as a vendor, and we'll get more into that experience of last year later. But for our listeners who are not aware, can you tell a little bit about what Grovestock is and sort of the vision, mission of this festival?
Yeah, Grovestock is really a community event where I'm inviting the community to participate and bring their art and bring who they are and share that with a larger audience and build a platform for people to connect and to really showcase their talents. That's how it originally started, was to bring people together and say, hey, like, we're out in the woods and now we can share whatever we want together. And now it's kind of developed into this more higher stage, right? Like, I want to bring national talent in. I want to bring regional talent in. And I want to pair it up with our local talent. And in order to create a higher elevation, a mindset and a inspiration of, like, we can do this, you can do this. Like, don't give up and keep being yourself and become the artist you want to.
Right. And this is held at Sunlight Mountain. I don't know where it originally started, but last year was at Sunlight, and it's going to be at Sunlight again this year.
Yep.
Excellent. And so explain to our guests a bit about camping, the nature of sort of the experience of if someone buys a full weekend ticket.
Yeah. So camping, we have several options. There's three options, actually. You have tent camping, which comes with your parking pass, but you'll basically pull down to the camping area. You'll unload your tent camping gear in a 12 by 12 space. And then that you'll take that car and go park up in the day parking area. So we're trying to keep that whole section clear of vehicles to keep down dust and those sorts of things. And then
Nice. Then
we have the general car camping, which is right there. That's a 20 by 20 space. It's a little closer to the festival ground, so it might be a little louder at night. And then we have the family car camping, which is the furthest away from the festival grounds. That's a 20 by 20 space. And space is limited as far as camping goes,
mm-hmm.
and as well as daytime parking and those sort of things. But those are separate areas. Mm-hmm. And so in that experience, you can buy a weekend ticket and you could buy your camping, and then you'll be able to experience the entirety of the festival, or you can just buy your weekend ticket and come and go as you please throughout the day and throughout the nighttime.
Right. When I went to Grovestock.com and kind of checked out the different offerings, I did think it was cool, all the different ticket options, you know, that really is, opening it up for people who can maybe only go one day or go the whole weekend. So I think that's cool. And it's almost like you're giving a big festival feel on a small scale, like numbers wise, you know, it's more of an intimate experience, but you're sort of providing all of these big festival experiences with the main stage, with another stage. And then this year you've really been building out the healing arts and movement arts as well. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about
absolutely.
That.
I mean, between you and Alia Howe, coordinating and bringing in a really talented group of movement artists and healers.
You have an all-star lineup.
People
should realize, like, the music is going to be awesome, but you should also really consider going to Grovestock for this all-star lineup of, like, there's tea ceremonies and yoga classes and meditation classes, and ecstatic dance is going to be there. And So I'm excited.
And also, like, great performances, you know, fire right. performances. We have aerial performances, you know, and we even integrated a Rainbow Lightning Children's Village this year so that, you know, you have somewhere to drop your kids off and they have fun. I mean, obviously, it'll be in the vendor village. Right. And I want to incorporate a little bit of a local lineup as well in that tent area space. And we've been getting ready to start contacting artists who have reached out. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening.
Right.
You know, the idea is for you to enjoy and go into the space that you want to participate in, you know, and on top of that, I mean, we're going to have like tea ceremonies,
right.
things like that, you know, just experiences. And on top of that, things like the Hammock Forest or some of the art that's coming out. You know, I'm really excited for that team as well, as they're starting to develop the overall feel and the idea of what it's going to be like to walk through the meadow path. And
right.
Well,
because as we've talked, I mean, ritual and prayer and sort of the more spiritual aspects of life in general are important to both of us. And that's something that's really inspiring me is, you know, this isn't just go listen to electronic dance music and get messed up. Like, that is not the goal seemingly of this festival. It's more of like, have this multi-sensory experience. It's sort of like create your own adventure. And that tapping into, you know, like what you said, you're changing some of the setup to keep down dust. You know, last year, that was one of the things that, you know, people experienced. It got dusty. It was hot. It's quite a walk, you know, from that vendor area down to the stage, up and down. It's like a voyage, you know, to
yeah.
make that walk up and down. But, you know, and some people didn't have a great experience with that. And some people loved it. Like, I had a great time. But as we talked about earlier, and want to, you know, key in the listeners today, is this idea of, why do people go to Burning Man? Why do people go to, I went to Bonnaroo, you know, back in 2006 or something, and had to walk an incredible distance, you know, from my camping to the stage. Now, that was a huge scale. That was a crazy scale. Right. I much prefer the scale of Grovestock these days.
Yeah.
But people flock to these festivals, and we're hot, and there might not be enough toilet paper sometimes, or, you know, you have a long walk. And let's talk a little bit about, why do we do this to ourselves? What is the point? Why are we holding this party? Why are we putting the effort? Why do we care? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I ask myself that question all the time when it comes to trying to coordinate something of this scale, is why, you know? And I think because the challenge, you know, the challenge of what it takes to bring your full self and bring everything you can to a scenario and then express it. You know,
right. There's a lot of vulnerability with putting yourself out there with event coordination.
Yeah,
I feel that.
Well, but also just when you attend a festival, you're being vulnerable in that state. I mean, you're going to meet people you don't know. You're going to experience things you never have before. You're going to be put in a place that's outside of that regular box that you sit in every day. And I think that is the goal, is to expand the mind, you
right.
know, to say, wow, like, look what's possible. Look where we could be if we focus or put our intention in the right spot. And as a community, I think that that's something that this valley would appreciate.
Right.
And so for me, it's like, how do we develop that culture?
Right.
And how do we create something that everyone is bringing their talent, their skill, and their art.
It's like
expression.
Our festival, because there are
yeah.
so many talented people in this valley.
Absolutely.
Like, there's such a concentration of creativity and vulnerability and individuality and uniqueness here that I think it's really cool that you're creating this space for all of us to collaborate and come together and create this experience. And I think it taps into, you know, if you look at human history, having rituals, having festivals, having these gatherings, that was sort of our birthright and part of our normal life experience. And then, you know, as church and, you know, the past 2000 years, it's sort of like those things have been lost. But I'll tell you what, last year, getting in the river naked with a bunch of people was life changing. And that was just like normal in the past, you know, but now, you know, the life I was coming from and transitioning to, that was a big deal for me and like super liberating and super healing. And so I think that this maybe gives us an opportunity to tap into something deeper, something more primal in ourselves that can actually be really healing.
Yeah, extremely healing from the space that we sit in nowadays where it is so, I think part of it too, like going back is this control factor,
right?
Like so much of our lives is controlled and by unseen forces, some seen,
right?
No matter what, there's always a position where you are under a source of control and you at some point you have to like let it go.
Right.
You know, and when you go to these festivals, you get into a space where you do become one with the overall arching idea. I mean, there's this book called Stealing Fire, and it's all about chasing a stasis. And it's a place in your mind that you go where you become one with what is happening around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that there is no necessarily a ranking, but just an organism moving together. So it's how the Navy SEALs operate. It's how this is why Google CEOs go to like a Burning Man event, because they put them into that scenario to see how they'll interact with people when they don't have all of the control.
Right. And the comforts. And, you know, this going to these festivals, like going to Grovestock, is not a 5-star resort in Mexico vacation. You know, that's not the point. That's not what this is.
No.
and things that I've, you know, kind of key phrases that I've been using with clients and myself that I've realized is no one's coddled into greatness. So having that friction or a little bit of resistance or out of your norm or not having all your comforts or having to plan ahead or having to rely on others and reach out to community, all of that is part of that expansion that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and I would say it can be as comfortable as you make it,
right?
As well. I mean,
depending on how good your camper van is.
Yeah, how good your camper van is. Is it going to fit in a 20 by 20?
Right.
Are you going to make it in time and reserve your camping in time to get the 20 by 20?
Right.
But also, if you're tent camping, I mean, you can come up with creative ways. I went to Burning Man one time and we survived 7 days in the desert in a tent.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have the camper van. We didn't have that stuff. And we did just fine.
Yeah.
You know, so it is possible. And, you know, this being the second year at Sunlight, I think it's, you know, we as we continue on, it will become more, the infrastructure will build. This year, you know, the most important part as far as infrastructure is making sure that we have the water and the porter potties and the parking figured out and these things that are going to make the experience less.
Yeah. More smooth. Like we don't want people to suffer. Like we're talking a lot about suffering and its value, but at the same token, we don't want you to suffer too much.
We want you to have fun.
Exactly.
We want you to come
and so speak more about that. What are some changes, additions, adaptations, you know, that you learned from, because we learn as we, you know, every experience we have, we're learning. So based on what you learned last year, what are some of those changes you're making this year?
So, yeah, we're going to have more shade structures, working on having misters on all those shade structures.
Nice.
And we're going to have, you know, just more choreographed, you know, more signage, more ability to know where things are. I think a lot of people actually missed some things last year.
Didn't know about the hammock forest.
Yeah, there's a whole hammock forest and there was no signage. It was kind of like you got to go explore and find out.
Right.
So this year we're going to start pointing people in the right direction. I do want to remind everyone too that last year it was planned in 2 months. We got the go ahead with Sunlight like 2 months before and we were like, okay, what do we do?
Whoa.
Time to put it all together.
I took a long time to plan Dandelion Day. That was just one day.
Yeah, so
I can imagine 2 months.
Now with, you know, over 6 to 8 months of planning into this, I think that's why the idea has gone.
It's like filled out.
It's gone so much further.
Right.
And and it's been really cool to start establishing that connection with Sunlight and how we can really work together. You know, they're more of a recreational facility.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you come to the festival, you then have access to some amazing, you know, disc golf courses and mountain biking. And so there's a lot of things to explore there. And it is for the adventure seeker, like somebody looking for the thrill of what it means to be alive. And that goes all the way back to what we were just talking about. The reason why is because it's, this is what it feels like to be alive and not be, and you only ever feel that when you're outside of your comfort zone. And that can be in any sort of, you know, mental way, or when you're physically pushing yourself, or when you attend a festival, you're outside of your comfort zone in order to find comfort in the unknown.
Nice. I like that. That's probably, I never really knew, because my friends who I grew up with, you know, I went to all girl Catholic high school and a Jesuit university. And when I would be going to these things, it was definitely, I was like tagging along with my little brother, because he was like more in that scene. And the people I dated and who I hung out with thought I was crazy and, you know, didn't get it. And I didn't really know at the time what was drawing me there. I just knew, I remember one of my first festivals when I got there, it was like this different reality. It was like I stepped into this different dimension, and like all the rules and preconceived notions and trauma and things about my identity just like went away. And I felt free. And then I accessed this level of flow with running into people and having needs met and wanting to go this way and that way. And then it would fall into place. And that had never happened to me before. And so when I left that festival, I just was hungry for more, you know, because I came back to life. Yeah. I got back into it. It felt so different. And then I would go back and I would sort of access that other space. And I never knew. I'm like, what is this? And, you know, and then I got married and became mom and, you know, all that, you know, kind of put that part of my life away and forgot almost a little bit about what it was like to be in that flow state with other people, you know, with that collective consciousness and that experience and that community. And then it's almost been like there's a term right now, rewilding. Have you heard of that?
I feel like I have, but I don't know exactly what that means.
So there's this concept.
Sounds like a hashtag rewild.
It probably is. It probably is. But I'm only so cool. So you got to get.
Well, I don't know either, but.
I know, right. So the whole concept to me of rewilding is, especially in circles of females right now, it's sort of like shedding this conditioning that we've been given, you know, throughout the past 100 years, 200 years, 500, you know, whatever you want to look at, and looking at the roles of the feminine and masculine energies, and looking at community, and looking at different family structures and more tribal structures, and getting away from this atomic family, everything's separate, everything's private, everything's competitive. So to me, this rewilding is shedding all of that and kind of getting back into our roots and our authenticity. And so I think these experiences, even with Mountain Fair, like Mountain Fair is sort of a rewilding for our Carbondale, you know, and greater community in this valley. And we just came off of that. And it's so cool to speak with people about their experiences, because I think we can even like tap into that flow a little bit. Even in the middle of Carbondale.
No, absolutely. That term, I don't know if I've heard that term, but what does it mean to, you know, I think first and foremost, it's like so important to keep the family structure together and to have family.
Right.
And that's one thing that you find at these festivals as well, is you find another form of family. You find people who you end up supporting each other, you know, making sure that person's hydrated, making sure that that person's ate some food and has a place to sleep or whatever that is. It turns into this little cohesive glue in this family.
Right.
And that support structure, you know, it's hard to find in regular society.
Right.
Especially, I mean, in the event itself is so different, because usually it's music, a beer garden, and vendors, right? I mean, that's kind of the formula for, that's an event, right? And this one's more like, yeah, there's all of that, but then there's like exploration involved and finding new things and going up into these woods over here. And yeah, you got to walk up that hill. You walked all the way down. You know, there's planning, there's preparation, there's all these levels to this that do make it more intense as a something to participate in,
right.
But it also is greatly rewarding when you do go through this process and then find that structure, that family and that connection that you might have not known was there this whole time. So
right.
That's really what's cool about it. And I find that now, like I feel sometimes like I'm that lost explorer wandering around trying to figure out where the tribe is. Right. But it's,
I think there's a lot of us that feel that way right now. Like we want that. And that's, I've been saying for years, the loss of tribe has been devastating for men, women, and children and all of us.
Yeah,
it really has. And I think that it's like a primal in our genetic need to feel that way and to find that tribe.
But that's what's amazing is that tribe, it starts to develop and it shows up right when you least expect it or right when you think all hope is lost. It's like that person who creates that stability is there.
Right.
And that's kind of life in general is, you know, there's these hard moments, these moments that are stressful and anxiety and all this stuff. But then when you take a deep breath and you relax, you realize all I have right now is this still moment. And then the right situation comes into existence. And I think that's the kind of magic. That's the kind of scenarios that happen at a place like Grovestock. It's, you know, obviously you want to have, in my perspective, I want to have my ducks in a row. I want to know exactly how this is going to be set up and where that's going and how this wristband gets you there or this gets you there or how that.
Well, you're the creative director. You better be figuring that out.
It's like how that band's getting from there to here and,
right,
you know, and how they're treated and blah, 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 the whole picture.
Right.
But when after you have that structure, you're able to have a foundation that people can just really enjoy and uplift each other.
Right. And as far as, you know, if listeners are interested in being involved and maybe they're wanting to volunteer or, you know, access this festival that way instead of maybe buying a ticket, you're looking for volunteers with lots of different positions right now. Is that right?
Yeah. So volunteers really, you know, we're still developing that team and trying to get people into the spots that they want to be.
Okay.
And I just got off the phone with a few of them today and everyone's so excited.
Right. Because that's like your part, you know, you're creating this experience. And that's what I love about this is an opportunity for our community to create an experience together.
Yeah.
For sure. Which Mountain Fair, you know, is its own thing. And this is sort of another thing, you know, in the community.
Absolutely.
And smaller a lot. It's smaller than Mountain Fair.
Yeah.
But also being up in the Aspens tucked away in sunlight, you know, versus being in town, you know, very different vibe.
Exactly. So you could go to grovestockfestival.com and there is a sign up for volunteers and you can give us an idea of what you might be interested in and show us what schedule might work for you. And then, you know, we reach out and try to get you into the right.
And that's awesome. I love the website because if you want to buy tickets, you go to grovestock.com. If you want to be a vendor and apply to be a vendor, you go to grovestock.com. And if you want to volunteer. So it's all in one place. It's easy to access for the community. And I love that. And the next I want to get into is art installations, because that's something, you know, that is a vision that you shared with me is on that walk. You know, we've referenced this walk from the vendors, you know, and parking area
which
down to the main
stage.
Which you had
some great ideas for.
Yeah, all good. I try to be.
We're going to definitely integrate this year.
Oh, yeah, awesome. But if you're an artist that wants to share your art and, you know, maybe it's a side gig or you don't have a gallery, you know, that holds your art and you'd be fine with it being outside, please contact, because we want to kind of create an artistic experience as you walk through the space. So as you are journeying down the hill or up the hill to access these different parts of the festival, you know, talk to the people about what kind of art you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm looking for, you know, it's really a platform. So it really depends on what you are, whatever you share. And if it's like, that's just, it's got to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, That application is also on the website, so you can just click on art on the header.
On
the menu. Yeah.
Cool.
And you can sign up there and just tell us what you might need. And, you know, I am trying to provide people with art grants if they need that sort of thing.
Very cool.
But otherwise, like, it's a great opportunity to set something up in the woods. Like, if you have a vision of certain paintings hanging, or, you know, a lighting design or a structure or just something simple.
Or even cool signage, like, yeah, that says stuff that you want people to read.
Absolutely. And it's still an opportunity where, in my head, if it were me, what I would do is I would put a QR code on something and then people could scan it and they could buy it off the website later, you know, so that they can't buy it right then, because obviously it's a part of the whole art piece.
We don't want to like get rid of our art until the end of the festival.
Exactly. Right? But then, you know, I mean, it's in its own way a vendor opportunity, but just also you're bringing something to the fair that's uniquely you. And so we are looking for more art installations, but just really that team is developing. So it's kind of like you become part of that team to see the whole vision. And right now that would be Nico Hines with Prismatica Arts. And
whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
I have two of his lanterns in my house.
Yeah, he's awesome. And Garrett Waltzak, and looking to bring on Lauren Wilder as well.
Very cool. That's what I mean. Like, the people are getting involved. I'm so excited. And like, the Ecstatic Dance, Max Havens and Macy Petty are going to be leading that this year.
Yeah.
And I love those two. I met Macy at Growstock. We had like, that was one of the coincidental community tribe things, was Macy and I meeting. And then I've taken my son, my 5-year-old, to the Ecstatic Dance in Aspen. And it's just been amazing. Oh, and we're out of time. Thank you so much. Yeah, if you want to get involved, please, I'm going to turn this down for a second. Go to growstock.com.
Growstockfestival.com.
Oh, yeah. Growstockfestival.com and get involved. And check Katie and Kay for the podcast and be in touch. And we'll see you there. Thank you so much for coming on, Austin, and all your hard work for our community.
Yeah, thank
you. All right. Until next time, take care of each other. Bye-bye.